Joining me now on the phone is Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. Madam President, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Rick.
I know it's been a very interesting week with the now imposition by the county of the sweetened beverage tax. A lot of people talking about this all over the place. A lot of people not happy with it. A lot of confusion, it seems, with the way retailers are enforcing it on even on items that it shouldn't be taxed. I know that people talk about, well, this is an effort for encouraging health, but we also know it's a significant revenue factor that you had built in about $68 million in the county budget on this. I'm not sure if it's possible. Are you getting any positive feedback on this?
Well, thank you very much, Rick. You know, I do get positive feedback from people, first of all, from our advocates, the American Heart Association, the American Diabetes Association, the American Dental Association, all the folks who worked hard with us last fall as we proposed this tax. And they supported, as I supported, first and foremost because we need revenue, and secondly because this is a way to raise revenue, which also has positive health benefits. You know, I think there's no argument in the research that the high sugar content of these beverages, the real and artificial sugars, are really bad for you. And the World Health Organization, clearly an important third-party affirmer here, says that national governments, state and local governments ought to impose these taxes to reduce consumption. And the state of Mexico has done that. And, of course, we're more familiar with Philadelphia and Berkeley and more recently Seattle, which have imposed similar taxes.
A lot of people have been raising to me the question, and we know it's a sweetened beverage tax, but it also includes artificial sweeteners. And the question being that, yes, I mean, everybody recognizes that having too much of real sugar or corn syrup or those kinds of sweeteners is definitely a health issue. But why the Diet Cokes? Why the Diet Pepsis? Why the artificially sweetened drinks?
Well, artificially sweetened drinks aren't good for you either. Clearly, the sugar sweetened and high fructose corn syrup sweetened beverages are worse. But none of it is good for you. And you know, in some of our poorer communities in the city and in the county, young people, that is our kids, get 25% of their calories from sweetened beverages. And I think it's really important that we understand that the beverage companies market these products disproportionately in poor black and brown communities. And, of course, those are the communities that face the most challenges in terms of health consequences. So, you know, I think it's really important that people understand, first and foremost, that if you want to have good government, you got to pay for it. And secondly, that it makes sense for us to raise revenues in ways that have other benefits. You know, we tax cigarettes in this country. And in the 1960s, as the research showed overwhelmingly that cigarette smoking was bad for you, 42% of adults in this country smoked. And we imposed high taxes at all levels, federal, state, and local. We had a public education campaign, and we also restricted where people could smoke. And now 15% of adults smoke. And I think all of us would agree over the last 50 years that that's a good outcome. Even people who smoke, I'm not sure, would argue that it's a good thing to be doing. So I think the research has shown that these things are not good for us. We have to raise revenues in some way. And the way in which we chose to do it was to raise taxes on sweetened beverages, which we knew had positive health benefits.
You've mentioned cigarettes, and I almost had to wonder, would you consider this as some form of a sin tax, as they're known?
I think I'd just say it's a tax that has positive health benefits. And let me just say, I would be happy if we didn't raise any money from cigarettes, because I know how bad cigarettes are for you. My grandfather died of emphysema. He was a pack-a-day smoker, and I just remember as a kid being heartbroken as I watched him struggle for breath and of course, ultimately succumb to it. So, no, I think we should do things in government that we need to do to raise revenue, and if we can also have positive health benefits from raising that revenue, all to the good.
One person that I talked to was just curious about that. Now it's a penny an ounce, but whether at some point that could be, even be scaled back somewhat. I mean, when you look at buying a 2-liter bottle of pop, you're talking about a tax roughly of about 70 cents, and that's almost half of the price of the bottle of soda. I mean, is that somewhere in the out years that might be considered?
I think if you look at the pattern with cigarettes, we haven't reduced taxes, we've raised them. And no, I wouldn't expect that. The advocates are quite clear that the tax needs to be at least a penny an ounce in order to have an impact, that is, to reduce consumption, which is what you want to do.
I know when the tax levy was being held up in the courts, there was the talk of all of the layoffs, and indeed some county employees did receive layoff notices. I'm wondering, now that the tax is imposed, how does that affect those layoffs that had been planned or had been executed?
Well, first of all, you know, I guess I should have begun here. You know, a lot of people don't understand exactly what the county does. So 46% of our budget is health care. So almost half of our budget goes into the health and hospital system. We have Stroger Hospital on the near west side. We have Provident Hospital on the mid-south side. We have a hospital in the jail, CIRMAC. We have 16 ambulatory, that's walk-in clinics, and specialty clinics around the county. And we run a Medicaid expansion program called County Care, which your listeners may be familiar with.
Right.
That's the program that was enabled by the Affordable Care Act to provide insurance to low-wage workers. Basically, anybody who makes minimum wage or less is eligible to be in the Medicaid expansion program. And we have 500,000 people, 480,000 people in Cook County that got health care coverage as a result of the Affordable Care Act. So 46% of our budget is health care. 41% is public safety. So that's running our criminal courts and running the jails, basically. So 87% of our budget is in those two buckets. Last fall, we realized that in order to provide the same quality, high quality of service that people expect from the county, we had two choices, one either to lay off 1,100 people or the other was to raise revenue, and we chose to raise revenue. And since 87% of our budget is public health and public safety, when you're laying off people, you're laying off doctors and nurses in our healthcare system, you're laying off state's attorneys and public defenders and correctional officers in our public safety arena, because that's where we spend the money. And as we anticipated not having the revenue as a result of the suit by the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, we sent layoff notices, and those layoff notices went to the same categories of folks that I just said, doctors, nurses, state's attorneys, public defenders, and correctional officers. So that was, I mean, the worst part of my job is having to lay off people.
But will some of those layoffs be rescinded now that the tax is in effect?
Well, here's the difficulty. We've lost revenue for more than a month, and in addition, revenue at the time when people consume the most sweetened beverages, that's over the summer. People have picnics and barbecues and family reunions and whatever. And in addition, the budget that was passed by the state imposed for the first time an administrative fee for collecting our sales tax revenues. This is the first time that the state has done this. And let me just point out, the county collects property taxes for every taxing body in the county. Every city, every town, every village, every school district, every mosquito abatement district, lighting district, water reclamation district. We collect taxes for them. We don't charge them. That's our job. But the state, in order to balance its budget, decided that it was going to take this administrative fee in collecting sales tax revenue. So that's had an impact on us, too. So it's not just the loss of revenue in the sweetened beverage tax. It's these changes that the state imposed on us in the budget that got passed. So we find ourselves in a difficult position. Instead of making 10% cuts, we're going to have to make 5% cuts. And I can't predict exactly how this is going to play out. That is, whether there'll be reduced layoffs or no layoffs. But we've asked our separately elected officials, our bureau chiefs, our department heads, to make layoffs of frontline staff the last resort.
We're speaking with Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We're speaking to Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, and we're talking about the imposition of the sweetened beverage tax, a lot of questions that are out there. Madam President, one of the biggest questions, I'm going to let one of our regular callers, Ron, ask you this. Ron, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, Ms. Preckwinkle, my question to you is that you said that these beverages are targeted toward low-income communities. I need a point of some clarification, because I heard that it excludes people who use food stamps, and those are usually the low-income people. So how are you discouraging them from buying these beverages?
Thank you, Ron.
Well, the point I made is that the beverage companies target low-income, particularly African-American and Latino communities. However, food stamps are, this is a federal program, and the federal government does not allow states or local units of government like the county to tax food stamps in any way. So food stamps are not subject to sales taxes, and they're not subject to taxes like our sweetened beverage tax.
I also want to ask you about the issue of the lawsuit that against the Illinois Retail Merchants Association and trying to recoup the $17 million that the county says that it lost because of the court rulings that had blocked the imposition of this tax. A lot of people expressing some concern about this, some people even suggesting this is like a slap lawsuit. And the question of, you know, doesn't somebody have the right to go to court and contest or question the legality of ordinances and laws that are passed by government?
Sure they do. In this instance, however, it had a very dramatic consequence in terms of county revenues. And let me just say, we enacted this law, this tax, last November. We issued the rules and regs in March. We had more than 30 face-to-face meetings, conference calls with stakeholders before we were to implement it on July 1st. And actually, we tweaked the rules and regulations three or four times in response to concerns raised by the retail merchants and others. You know, the retail merchants could have started this suit in November, in which case it would have been resolved by July 1st, and we would have been in a much better position to determine where we were before the end of the fiscal year. And they timed their suit to inflict maximum damage on the county.
But you don't think that there's any deleterious effect on just the right to be able to question government in this way?
No, I don't think so. I think they exercise their right to challenge our action, and we're countersuing.
Want to switch a little bit and ask you about, with all of the things going on as far as the Senate Republicans in Washington and the issue of health care. You touched on county care and basically how much of health care is what the county does. And we keep wondering about, you know, what is going to be the outcome that comes out of Washington. Certainly, if anything, warnings about things like the Medicaid expansion that's allowed more people to receive health care, about federal funding for that really being on the chopping block. But beyond that, we don't really know what else might come from a repeal and replacement plan. I'm wondering, you know, we hear that the governor says he's concerned about it, but we have also seen other Republican governors, John Kasich in Ohio and others, you know, basically kind of going to the forefront and urging Republicans in Congress to talk with the Democrats to do something. What do you hear about what may come, or is it just a matter that Republicans are kind of, after 7 years of repeal and replace, just can't figure out what they're doing?
Well, I think it's important for our listeners to know what the Affordable Care Act has done for folks in Cook County. I think I said earlier, almost 500,000 people have gotten health care coverage as a result of the Affordable Care Act. 500,000 people, most of those through Medicaid expansion. We have a Medicaid expansion managed care program called County Care, but Blue Cross Blue Shield and other private providers have also had this Medicaid expansion program. 500,000 people, and the Republican proposal, the last one that failed, would have denied health care access to federally supported health care to 16 million people. The previous proposals range from 24 to 30 million people that would lose their health care or not be eligible for health care in the future. I mean, these are just would have devastating effects on Americans. And we're making progress toward access to care for everyone. And rescinding the Affordable Care Act, repealing it, would just have devastating consequences, not just for the people who were getting insurance for the first time in their lives, many of them, but also for our health care providers. You know, in 2010, when I came in office, the taxpayers of Cook County were contributing $400 million a year to the health care system, $400 million. In the last budget, 2017, it was $111 million, roughly. So that's a $300 million difference. And some of that was efficiencies, but most of it was the substitution of federal dollars for local dollars. So the cost to us of the repeal of the Affordable Care Act was at least $300 million. And we estimated it might be up to $800 million because people would lose coverage not just in our managed care program, but in all the other managed care programs. And the pattern in the past was uninsured people did not go to Northwestern or the University of Chicago hospitals or Rush. They came to Cook County, and that's where they would come back again. So we estimated that the loss of the Affordable Care Act, the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, would cost the county anywhere from $300 to $800 million.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, is back to the old days when, you know, county was where everybody went and they didn't have insurance, and that's where, you know, the expenses just piled up.
Well, you know, before the Affordable Care Act, two-thirds of our patients were what we called self-pay. Now, that's a euphemism. It means they couldn't pay. It means we provided the care for them. It was charity care. So the reverse is now the case. Almost two-thirds of our patients have insurance, and that's the result of the Affordable Care Act. Medicaid expansion, the marketplace plans, people now have coverage, and only one-third are self-pay. So, this has been a dramatic shift for us in terms of our insured patient population.
Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Well, thanks, Rick. I appreciate the invitation. I'll be happy to come back.
Appreciate it. We'll be back with more right after this.